Iraqi lawmakers are scrambling to firm up cabinet nominations ahead of tomorrow's parliamentary meeting, scheduled to plan just how to stop the advancing extremists from the group formerly known as ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. The group announced this weekend that it is reforming a caliphate, or global Muslim empire, and will now be calling itself the Islamic State, and that its leader, Abu Baghdadi, will now be caliph, and all other jihadist groups, including al-Qaeda, must swear allegiance to him. The declaration of a caliphate is not just the announcement of the group's own state governed by Sharia law, but it's also a claim of successor to the first Islamic rule created by the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabian Peninsula 14 centuries ago. So what does this mean in the ongoing conflict? One thing's for sure, word traveled fast on the group's incredibly sophisticated social media empire that is already in place on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, and YouTube. J.M. Berger runs the Terrorism and National Security Research and Analysis site IntelWire. He joins us by Skype. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Close watchers like you saw this bubbling a while back on social media, a hashtag that was made to look like a grassroots initiative, in other words, made to look like a grassroots call for ISIS to form a caliphate. Tell us more about that.
Well, earlier in the year, around March, some of the social media team that ISIS runs started this hashtag that said, "We demand the declaration of the caliphate." And the way they operate is they try and make their messaging seem like it's sort of bubbling up from the ground level, but it's actually a pretty well-organized kind of campaign. There are certain key influencers who will put something like this out there and then encourage people to tweet it very heavily.
Yeah, and what was the reaction then?
It was pretty controversial. A lot of the supporters of ISIS were very into it, and people who were not into ISIS saw a lot of problems with it from a religious and Islamic legal perspective.
Well, and talk to us about some of those perspectives, the legal perspective. I mean, you can't just declare a caliphate.
Well, I'm not an Islamic legal scholar, but I do understand that there are certain conditions that have to be met in order to declare a caliphate. And ISIS has released, as part of this announcement this week, their legal justification. You know, when you get down to it, extremists of any stripe are not necessarily wedded to their source material. It's their interpretation of the material that really matters. So often this kind of thing just reinforces ideas that were already there.
Well, one of them is they introduced a new name for the man they want to be the caliph, the leader of the caliphate, who's the leader of ISIS, proving that he has the required lineage for that title of caliph. But this sparked so much debate back then. What are the questions for you now? You write that this is a stunning and unnecessary risk by a group that could have navigated the next few months with excellent odds of an outcome that ranged from good to very good. You've written that they made gains in Iraq because of their show of strength, and this might risk that. How so?
Well, as we went into June, ISIS made this very visible and very dramatic military campaign in Iraq, and they captured a lot of territory. They emptied a lot of banks along the way, and they stole a lot of munitions and artillery and heavy weaponry. Now, with the declaration of the caliphate, that really puts a lot of pressure on them to hold the territory, because you can't be a caliphate that melts away into the hills under military pressure like an insurgency does. A caliphate needs to hold ground, and that's part of the legal justification that they have here. So if they lose to the Iraqi army, then it's a tremendous loss of faith, and it makes them look like they have hubris. It makes them look arrogant, and it also kind of vindicates the criticisms of ISIS that al-Qaeda has leveled against them.
So take us there. ISIS is not al-Qaeda. It's said, in fact, to have split off from al-Qaeda. It's had spats with al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda actually asked ISIS to leave Syria. The group refused. Speculation is that this could be the group, ISIS, that kills al-Qaeda. But you also write about al-Qaeda losing strength to ISIS. So does ISIS care if al-Qaeda is upset about the call for a caliphate?
Well, this is partly, at least, aimed at al-Qaeda. So the criticism that al-Qaeda leveled against ISIS, the dispute here is ultimately one of personal power politics. So if it works out for ISIS, then al-Qaeda Central is going to really have a significant loss of face. And because of the way the network is diffused right now, face is one of the few things they have. And then if it backfires on ISIS, it's going to vindicate the criticisms that al-Qaeda and its emir Ayman al-Zawahiri have fired off at ISIS over the course of the last year.
Yeah. Well, but what about the millions of Muslims who don't support either group? Might they be able to somehow influence this with their disdain for both ISIS and al-Qaeda? I mean, this is a group that's calling on them, millions of peaceful Muslims living around the world, to form a caliphate.
Well, these guys really don't care what ordinary Muslims think. They do on paper. They want ordinary Muslims to rise up and join them. And, you know, the number of people who support jihadism in general or either of these groups specifically is really minutely small in proportion to the overall population of Muslims. What there is, though, is there's a group of nonviolent radicals, the same kind of people you would see in this country who might, you know, wear a Che Guevara t-shirt or an Anonymous mask. Those are the people who are in play here between al-Qaeda and ISIS. So this declaration is going to excite, very much fire up, a certain number of those nonviolent radicals. And if they jump toward ISIS, then ISIS will have a better base to draw on for fundraising, to get its message out, to recruit foreign fighters. And if they jump toward al-Qaeda, it's probably more of a wash at that point, because ISIS is already in pretty good shape as far as money and foreign fighters.
Well, and as far as messaging, too, JM, just to talk a little bit more about that, this idea of how skilled they are at using social media. You say that outlets in this country, you know, corporations would be green with envy if they knew how well ISIS was using social media to, for instance, hijack World Cup hashtags so that these millions of people around the world who are logging on and looking for World Cup hashtags, instead of getting World Cup news, they're getting ISIS news.
So a lot of these tactics that ISIS is using are stuff that a company here wouldn't use. I did make that comparison, but it's slightly unfair to companies here.
Yeah, so, because it's just completely disreputable.
It's spam, basically.
Yeah.
ISIS is very good at spamming. So they spammed the World Cup hashtag. They built a Twitter app that spammed out their messages through other people's accounts, which has since been deactivated, although they're trying to bring it back. But they also do organize very well. They also do some things that are within the rules that are very smart and very efficient. So, for instance, when they want to promote a message, they will have their group of social media activists, which is up to 3,000 Twitter accounts, tweet out the same message all at the same time so that it shows up on a trending hashtags list and websites that aggregate, you know, what people are talking about. So they're sort of gaming the system in that way, in a way that's within the rules, just by being really well organized and having very intensely devoted fans.
And they're leaving al-Qaeda in the dust on that level.
They are. Jabhat al-Nusra, the al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria, has a pretty robust Twitter presence that's about the same size as what ISIS has. But the ISIS users are much more engaged, partly because ISIS is a more fanatical group. So people get more fanatical. And then al-Qaeda Central really has virtually no presence on social media because of their operational limitations. Anytime one of those guys sticks their head out, they're liable to get a drone. So.
Quite something. J.M. Berger, we'll link you to his research and analysis site, IntelWire. He's also author of the book, Jihad Joe, Americans Who Go to War in the Name of Islam. J.M., thanks for sharing your expertise with us. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.